Thank you. Thank you, Piper and Sherry and Rob, for sharing these stories and for making the questions real. As we continue to walk through our sermon series about half-truths, these things that we hear said over and over like cliches or Christian platitudes that make some sense most days, but some days we have to question them. Today's half-truth is, God won't give me anything more than I can handle. And you just heard these three vignettes, these three testimonies about everyday people who have real stories, and they're starting to question, will God give me something I can't handle? Will God show up for me in this situation, in my life? I want to tell you a little bit more about where this question comes from and how Scripture feeds into the cliches for us. There's a passage from 1 Corinthians that I want to read for you today. And this is perhaps the strongest place in the Bible where we are told that God won't give us something we can't handle. This is Paul speaking to the Corinthian church. So if you think you are standing, watch out that you do not fall. No testing has overtaken you that is not common to everyone. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tested beyond your strength. But with the testing, he will also provide the way out so that you may be able to endure it. Just a couple verses that really pack a punch for us today. The same kind of message was communicated in the songs that we sang at the opening of our worship service. That God is with us, that God is able, that God is someone we can trust with our lives, with our livelihood, with our families, with our health, with our money and our well-being and everything else in between. We as people of faith are taught that God is good, that God is loving, that God is trustworthy, and that God's presence in our life will always be there for us. And so with all these things combined, we come up with messages like, God won't give me anything more than I can handle. And then life happens. Just like the stories you heard in the vignettes where kids are struggling to manage their relationships with their parents and getting caught in the middle of their disputes, of their trials, wondering how it is they can support themselves through school and get good grades, work hard at their extracurriculars that give them life and energy. God won't give me more than I can handle. Works until life starts showing up in unexpected ways, until we face adversity in ways that we haven't faced it before. And we start to question those things that we've heard time and time again. When a person who is in the sandwich generation is encountering questions and doubts around how she can be all things to all people, to her children, to her parents, to all those who need care in her life, still keep up the house, still go to work every day and do their job, come home, cook dinner, and put on a smiling face, and spend time at sporting events. God won't give me anything more than I can handle. It becomes a cliche. It becomes something that rubs us the wrong way because our life experience is overwhelming. We do get weary. We do worry. We do tire of the day-to-day toils and tribulations. And when even bigger things start to fall apart, like the plan you have for your life and your marriage and your retirement, when the vows you have said start to come into question, not just on your wedding day, but later on in life, 30 years later, you start to wonder, am I even capable of handling all these things? Am I capable? Am I competent? Am I good enough? Is God with me here in this moment? the cliche phrase, God won't give me anything more than I can handle, starts to become maybe a half-truth or a false truth. I've heard people say often, and I've even said things like, God, I can't do this. I didn't sign up for this. This is not what I had in mind. This is more than I can bear. What am I supposed to do now? Where am I supposed to go? Are these the odds I've been dealt? Are you testing me, God? What is up with all of this stuff? Paul, who wrote this letter to the Corinthians, understands that the people he's writing to are in the midst of a time that feels overwhelming. They're in the midst of a time when there's a lot of stuff going on in their daily lives. When they leave the house in the morning, they walk down the city street, and there are beautiful and scantily clad women inviting them to do things that might be living outside of their marriage vows. More than that, there are people who are worshiping false idols, who are participating in an act of idolatry and going against the commandment that God gave the people, that you shall have no other gods besides me. So you've got all these different temptations, and it's just out on the city streets. Not to mention the things that are going through our minds, that make our hearts beat faster, that cause us to be curious, to do things that are not in our best interest. So Paul is writing to these people, and he's saying, if you think you are standing strong in your faith, if you think you are an upright citizen, if your morals are intact and all is well with you, good. Good. Keep being righteous. Keep standing tall. But if you are a person who's experiencing some curiosity, if you're a person who's experiencing some temptations, if you're a person who is idolizing something other than our great God, be careful that you do not fall. Be careful that you do not misstep. Stand strong in your faith. No testing has overtaken you that is common to everyone, that is not common to everyone. Everybody sees these temptations when they walk outside their door. Everybody can get caught up in this same old thing. Just like everybody's parents can fight, and everybody's mom or dad is going to need care, and every day at work and as a parent is going to start to feel overwhelming. Just like everybody struggles to manage their finances and communicate with their spouse and lean in to that trust and that firm foundation that we build our life upon. This kind of testing is common to everyone, Paul says. He also says, God is faithful. God is with you. And God will never let you be tested beyond your strength. Now here, Paul is talking about the faithfulness and the strength that we have in our relationship with Jesus Christ. When Paul says that we'll never be tested beyond our strength, he's asking us to not defer to our own individual strength, our own individual power, our own individual sense of, I know what I should do and I am going to do it all by myself. Have you ever said that? Can you tell I'm a mom of a 3-year-old? I do it all by myself. But he's asking us to lean in to the strength that we have in our higher power. Lean into the strength that we have in the love of Jesus Christ. In the grace that says, you're not going to get it right each and every day. But each and every day, I'm going to be with you as you try and try again. And I'm going to help you to stand up tall. To lift your head. To face your trials and tribulations, to know that you are not alone. Paul is reminding people that when it comes to being overwhelmed and when it comes to feeling weary, it is then that we can rely on the strength that we have in Jesus Christ. It is then that we can surrender to the grace that we need each and every day, to the love that surrounds us and uplifts us and will sustain us in every moment, in every situation, no matter what's going on at home or at school or at work, no matter what's going on in the world, in politics, or in your own heart. Paul says, with this testing, God will provide the way so that you may be able to endure it all. The way that, as I have come to understand it, is not a way of coercion. It's not a way of persuasion. It's not a way of finger wagging or telling us that this is the way out and this is what you shall do. And this is how we're going to handle this situation. But it's a way of being present with us, of walking with us on the journey, of saying, my child, my brother, my sister, I know this is hard. I know that you are feeling overwhelmed. I know that sometimes you struggle to know your own worth and whether you are capable and competent in this situation. But I made you, God says. I am the one that calls you, and I am the one that walks with you. And I am the one on whom you can depend, because I am faithful, and I will never leave you. God's presence with us in good times and bad is something that is written all over the place in the Bible. And as many times as we can count, God says, never fear, for I am with you. The message of do not be afraid is actually in the Bible over 350 times. More times than any scholar or pastor would care to count in the span of a week. The message of do not be afraid is one that we can take with us and take to heart on those bad days when we are feeling weary, when we are feeling overwhelmed, when we're asking those big questions about, God, where are you and what should I be doing? I remember sitting in my office in the church that I served in Grand Rapids. It was also called St. Paul's United Methodist. God has a funny sense of humor like that sometimes. I was sitting in my office one day just typing away on the computer, clickety-clack, clickety-clack, and there was a knock at my door. The rest of the building was empty. There weren't any programs going on at that time. And so I had ample opportunity to open the door and engage this person. It was a woman I didn't know. It was a woman who walked in off the city street, and she got in off the bus that day and walked up the hill to our church, and the door was open, so she came in. She presented herself to me, introduced herself as Betty, and sat down and began to unload. She wasn't venting, but she had found a safe space where she could tell her story. Raw, uninterrupted, she let me know what was going on in her life. Betty was a woman who, after raising her children, caring for a sick husband, and ultimately losing him to a car accident, was later diagnosed with uterine cancer. She worked a full-time job working on the line in a factory that packaged cereals and granola bars and oatmeal and things like that. And when her uterine cancer came up, she went to her boss and said that she would have to take a six-week leave so that she could care for herself and regain her strength after the surgery. She had to have surgery to remove her uterus and her ovaries, and after something like that, it's going to take time to get back to full health. So she wasn't able to be on her feet. She wasn't able to stand at the conveyor belt and put the granola bars into the boxes and put the cereal into the boxes and do these normal day-to-day things that her job required. Unfortunately, after the six-week medical leave, her position had been filled by someone else, and Betty was left unemployed. There were complications with her surgery, and she had an infection that required more medical care and more time at home. Since she had been widowed, she asked her sister to come and live with her in her apartment to help just keep the day-to-day going, to keep food in the refrigerator, clean clothes in the closet, and keep the house neat and tidy like she liked to keep it. After a few months of recovery and infections and having to go back and forth to the doctor and do all of these things, she was just starting to get back on her feet again, but she fell behind in her rent and had piled up a great deal of debt. It's not hard to understand how that happens in a situation like Betty's. So her landlord came knocking at her door and served an eviction notice. She had to be out in 30 days or pay over the amount that she had in savings. She had unfortunately violated the terms of her lease agreement by inviting someone else to live with her as she recovered from her surgery. And this was another nail in the, so to speak, coffin. She came to my office that day not to beg for money, not for me to resolve all of her problems or find a cure for her cancer, to talk her landlord out of the eviction, but simply to unload, to ask questions like those that we heard asked here today. Where is God in the midst of all of this? She said, because I'm up to here. And she repeated the cliche phrase, Pastor, I know God won't give me more than I can handle, but I just wish God didn't trust me so much. Betty was someone who was weary, who was worried, who was really having a hard time. And in that moment, I as a pastor, I as a stranger, couldn't do much to help her. The little church wasn't equipped to pay off her debt. We could make referrals. We could provide a few meals. We could give her another bus pass to get home that day. But in that moment, there were more questions than answers. There were more problems than solutions, and the question of whether God, who is good, who is faithful, who is loving, who is with us, was on Betty's mind. It was on my heart and mind as well. So I took Betty's hands in mine. I prayed with her. I reminded her of all these promises that we hear. I invited her to lean into God's presence in her life, to trust in God's goodness, to know that God is for us and not against us, and that by God's grace, she will be able to get through this difficult time. I want to tell you some things that I do and don't believe. Based on knowing Betty and knowing this situation and knowing some of the other stories that I have heard you all tell about your life, about your circumstances, about your trials and tribulations. I, as a woman of God and as a pastor and as a person who seeks to live my faith every day, I do not believe that God causes adversity, that God wants you to be in pain or to struggle. I do not believe that God hands out pink slips to end your job, that God causes situations to be overwhelming in such a way that you doubt who you are at your core. I don't believe that God hands out terminal illnesses or trying parenting situations to test us. If I believed that, I would believe in a God who works in our lives on the premise of fear, on the premise of intimidation and wanting to control us. And that is not the God that I put my trust in each and every day. I do believe that God is powerful. I do believe that God is strong. I do believe that God is working in our lives, but I believe that that power comes not from fear, but from love. Love supersedes all other attributes for me. I believe that because of the love that I have seen at work in my daily life, as God has transformed me and my heart and my marriage and my parenting, I believe that at my core. I do not believe that God plays games, dealing out good and bad hands to favorites or to chosen people. God does not cause or desire our suffering or purposefully put obstacles in our path to test us, to test our endurance or our strength or our ability to outsmart, outwit, outstrategize. God does not intend for terrible things to happen to us. Rather, God is with us in all of those moments. God is the one who offers us a hand up to get over those obstacles or to walk with us hand in hand around it to find a different way. God is the one who is patiently and purposefully seeking out a relationship with us so that we might come to encounter the love of Jesus Christ that is always, always saving us, always transforming us, always working in our lives. No matter how desperate or dire the circumstance, I believe that God is there with us. God created us to be resilient and strong individuals. Yes, indeed. But that doesn't mean that God intends for us to be resilient and strong and independent all on our own. We can lean into God. We can surrender to that grace and that love that is at work in our lives. And we can trust in it with all of our hearts. Maddie sang a solo this morning of a song called Trust in You. And in that song, the chorus goes, when you don't move the mountains, when you don't part the waters like I want you to, God, I will still trust in you. I will trust in you. I think trust is a big ask for us as people of faith. It's something that our church wants us to do all the time. Trust in God. It's something that we're called to do on a day-to-day basis. I have a hard time trusting if I'm afraid of what I'm looking at. If I'm afraid of how I am to approach a situation or a relationship, I have a hard time trusting. If I consider that a relationship is open-armed, open-handed, and that I'll be welcomed in with a loving embrace, if that I'll be met with empathy, with compassion, with grace, I'm much more likely to trust in that presence, in that power. And so that is the image of God that I choose. That is the character of God that I entrust my life to and that I want to partner with in the day-to-day. As I face my own struggles, as I serve alongside people who are facing struggles, and as I seek to debunk some of these myths, these half-truths, like God won't give me anything more than I can handle. There's another passage in Scripture where the writer is having a call and response with God. And the passage goes like this. It says, ask and you shall receive. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. For all who ask shall receive, and for all who knock the door shall be opened. Perhaps you've heard this before. For me, as I think about this in relationship to the cliche phrase, God won't give us more than we can handle, I often wonder, how are we called to participate in this call and response? How are we called as people of faith to partner with God so that we are asking and receiving? So that we are the ones who are knocking at the door, and we are also the ones who are helping to open the door. I believe that part of the problem with the cliche phrase, God won't give us more than we can handle, is that it's so individualistic. It's rooted in that idea that I can do it by myself. I can handle whatever comes my way. I will handle it no matter what. It's all on me. Well, here in the community of faith at St. Paul's and here at Open Door, we believe in that give and take. We believe in that call and response. We believe that we don't bear our burdens alone and that our problems are not solely ours to resolve, because we are part of the body of Christ. We are part of a community of faith. We are part of a caring and compassionate and generous and intentional community that wants to walk with us each and every day as we participate in our relationship with Jesus Christ. So, as we remember that this is a call and response, that we are not alone in this, that God relates to us as individuals, but also as a community of faith, let us remember that we do not bear our burdens alone. We're not left to handle each and every trial and tribulation by ourselves, but rather to lean into the grace and lean into the love that exists for us. And that love and that grace is made manifest right here in this place, in this community, in this church, right here at St. Paul's, right here in the city of Rochester. We have here people who desire to serve, people who desire to listen, people here who might not have all the answers to your questions or all the solutions to your problems, but who are willing to engage with you, willing to partner with you, to help you hear the voice where God is telling you, you are my child, I made you, I called you, and I will get you through this time. So today, perhaps the challenge is to get out of your own head, to ask for help when you need it. If you're a person who's stubborn and who says, I can do it all on my own, perhaps admit that you need a brother or a sister in Christ. You need a pastor or a friend who can come to your aid. Maybe God won't give you anything that you can handle, but that together we can handle everything that comes our way. I come into this place each and every day knowing that I have an opportunity not only to offer this gift of hope and this gift of new life to you all, but to receive it for myself. I bring my own brokenness, I bring my own messiness, my own questions, my own fears and failures. And together we as a community work to trust in God, to lean into that love and that grace. I invite you into that work with me, to lead the life that we are called to live, to call and respond, to give and to receive. Will you pray with me? Today, oh God, we come to you just as we are. Some of us are heavy. And so with all that we're carrying, we seek to unburden ourselves, to lean into your grace and your love, to trust in your goodness and your steadfast presence in our life. Help us to know, oh God, that we are never alone, that you are with us in every time and every place, and that you are working to transform our hearts and our lives through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.